This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
He walked with a grace that belied his size. This powerful man with a glint in his eyes. In the ring, a study of purpose and skill, a triumph of talent and training and will. A master of arts and the art of defense, a master of building a spell of suspense. Outside of the ring, away from the crowd, a soft-spoken man, part humble, part proud. The boasts and the threats were part of a plan to psych the opponent, not part of the man. The man had the fears that accompany all who go into battle and know they may fall. Yes, fear was the enemy each time to face, and fear the opponent he kept in his place. His courage was tested again and again by those who were deemed to be men amongst men, the worthy opponents who fought toe to toe, who gave not an inch as they'd trade, blow for blow. He met them, he fought them, and then he'd collect that treasure of treasures, the gift of respect. The word and the deed soon became intertwined, the mouth and the fist, the body and the mind, the legend and fact, the image, the truth, the wisdom of age and the sparkle of youth were spread on a canvas for all to behold, the power of steel beneath the glitter of gold. Success, you see, was his constant companion, his friend. It seemed like good fortune was his without end, but even the greatest must face that grim day, the day the decision stopped falling his way. The champion, the best of the best, found he too was vulnerable, just like the rest. But even when times were exceedingly rough, he never lost heart or cried out, "It's enough." And time came around, and time cleared his name, and time saw him gain even greater acclaim by doing what no other person had done. He fought for his heavyweight crown, and he won. And now, as we gather to praise and to cheer this man, we say for the world that has come to agree, thank Allah, thank God.
We started the center in 1958 with £3 and 5 shillings. And alhamdulillah, from that little beginning, we have grown.
This whole area with hundreds of little dwellings is called Adams Mission Station. And about 50 years ago, I worked in a shop close by here. And across the valley from the shop is what is called Adams Mission Station, Adams College. And students from this college used to come along, and those who were training missionaries, they were harassing me and the other employees, Muslim employees of the shop, telling us so many things about Islam and about the Prophet of Islam, about which I had no knowledge. Now, these missionaries, you know, they were making life miserable for us from this college. They were getting training there as to how to deal with the Muslims. And as they came to do the shopping here, they asked us questions. Criticism, actually. He says, "You know, Muhammad has so many wives." I knew nothing about that. He says, "You know, Muhammad spread his religion at the point of the sword." I knew nothing about that. He says, "You know, he copied his book from the Jews and the Christians." I knew nothing about that. So what was I as a Muslim to do? You fight back, But without knowledge, you can't fight back. Run away, and jobs are very difficult to find those days. So I had a natural urge for reading. And one Sunday morning, going into my boss's warehouse, go down, I was rummaging through a pile of old newspapers, looking for some better reading material than newspapers to read. And as I was looking for such a material, I came across a worm-eaten book. This book, we have renewed the cover, but a worm-eaten book. And when I picked it up, I started to sneeze because it was all full of mildew. And I read the title of the book. It said, Izharul Haq, spelled out in Latin script, Izharul Haq. Izharul Haq. Now, to me, that sounded Arabic. Izharul Haq. It sounds like Arabic. So I didn't know what it meant. I see here at the bottom, it says The Truth Revealed. This was a very old publication, printed in 1915 in India. 2 years older than myself. I was born in 18. These are 3 years older than myself. Now, this book actually changed my life. Had it not been that I came across this book, I would not have been doing what I'm doing today. That is, talking to people about religion on a comparative basis. This is how it all started here in this area 50 years ago. Islamic Propagation Center International came into being. As soon as I left school, I started working in a country shop just about 25 miles outside the city, selling sugar and salt, flour, rice across the counter. Across the valley from the shop, there was a Christian mission, a university, where they were training missionaries. And these trainee missionaries, whatever they learned, they came to practice on the Muslims in the shop. We were ready customers for them. We were the only Muslims around that place, and they would come to us telling us that, you know, Muhammad has so many wives. I knew nothing about that. They would tell us that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spread his religion at the point of the sword, meaning he forced people to accept Islam. I knew nothing about that. He said Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he copied the Quran from the Jews and the Christians, meaning he plagiarized, he stole. I knew nothing about that. And all the other staff in the shop, we were all in the same level. The only thing we knew about Islam was that we read the Shahada, which made us Muslims. What the Shahada meant, when we said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, to us it was like a magic formula. If you can say it, you are a Muslim. If you can't say it, you are not a Muslim. What to do?
They made life miserable. The missionaries made life miserable for me and the other staff. I felt like leaving the job and running away. But jobs were very difficult to get. What to do? Allah came to the rescue. I came across a worm-eaten book. A worm-eaten book in my boss's warehouse, his go-down. The title of the book was Izharul Haq, meaning the truth revealed. And this book title intrigued me because it sounded like Arabic, but it was written in Latin script, in English. Izharul Haq, Izharul Haq. And I ruminated the words in my mind, Izharul Haq, Izharul Haq. What is Izharul Haq? Seeing in brackets, in smaller types, the truth revealed. I now connected that most probably Izharul Haq means the truth revealed. And I read this book. This book was about the Christian missionary attack on India, my motherland. That when the British conquered India, they realized that at any time anybody will give them trouble, it will be the Muslims. Because power, rule, dominion was wrenched out of their hands. And once they have tasted power, they will aspire for it once more again. And the Muslims were a militant people in contrast to the Hindus, who were, at that time, they were as docile as the cows that they were worshipping. So there was no fear from that quarter. So the British felt that if they can convert the Muslims, a substantial number of them, they can rule India for 1,000 years. And they started pouring in the missionaries like frogs in the rainy season into India, wanting to convert our people. I'm reading this in this book, and about the debates that took place. Now, those debates were of great interest to me, because this is actually now I'm under pressure from the Christians, and it's giving me material. It's arming me. As the debates that took place, the same type of arguments, if I can use, I will be in a better position to defend myself and Islam. So whatever I learned in the book, I started practicing on the students now. And I made appointments with them to go to their homes on Sundays after church, their church, and talking to them. And I talked myself into talking until I came to Durban, reside in Durban. I found a job in Durban. And in Durban, around the 50s, an opening took place. This is also Allah's Musabbibul Asbab. We had a very charismatic speaker coming from overseas. And this speaker, very unusual, for a Sunday morning, he used to get 200 to 300 people every Sunday morning. And the crowd was increasing continuously. And I used to attend this talk of his, very fascinating. At the end of the talk, question and answers, and when everything was over, after a few months, a revert to Islam, an Englishman who had become Muslim, by the name of Mr. Fairfax. This Mr. Fairfax, he suggested this, look, any of you, if you are interested, I am prepared to teach you people comparative religion. But he called it Bible class. He said, I will teach you the Bible, how to use the Bible in propagating Islam. So he said, very good. So out of these 200 to 300 audience every Sunday morning that this other gentleman drew, about 15 to 20 opted to remain for a second injection. And this Mr. Fairfax began teaching us that look, in the book of Daniels, there are certain prophecies and how to use those prophecies. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the Bible, there are certain prophecies regarding the coming of our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how we can exploit them, how we can expound them. So this thing carried on for a few more weeks or a couple of months, and then Mr. Fairfax was absent. And I could see the disappointment on the faces of these young people. We were all young then, 15 to 20 of us. We're looking at each other's faces, disappointed, and we break up. The following Sunday again, we look at each other's faces, where is Mr. Fairfax? No news. And we break up. The third Sunday, I suggested to them, to those people who were enthusiastic about having a second inning. I said, look, if you like, I can carry on where Mr. Fairfax left off. Because I had the knowledge, but I was sitting in to give this person my moral support. myself and my secretary, who has just passed away, Mr. G.H.E. Venka. Now, we were both knowledgeable as far as the Bible was concerned, but we would give them our moral support. We said, we'll sit there and with the rest. Now I said, look, if you like, I will carry on from where Mr. Fairfax left off. And if you get bored, tired, fed up, just yawn. And that'll be notice enough for me to stop. And for 3 years, I continued talking to them. And I discovered now that that was my best way of learning, because there is no better way to learn than to teach. As our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ballighu anni walau ayah." Deliver the message regarding me, even if it is one verse. That's a secret. If you have one verse, and if you share, and you share, and you share, then Allah fills you up with more. I didn't know that then, but I can now realize what was happening. Teaching them. Then I had some visitors. Visitors to come along. There were some visitors coming from Johannesburg, and they stayed in for my class. And they felt that they can exploit my talents. So they said, look, we are having a birthday celebration of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the City Hall of Johannesburg, and we would like you to come and speak to us. So I said, I'm a working class man, I can't afford these trips, but if you give me an air ticket, I will come. So they gave me an air return air ticket, and for the first time in my life, I traveled by air to reach Johannesburg and deliver the lecture. Now that gave me an idea. That if I can lecture in the City Hall of Johannesburg, what is wrong with the City Hall of Durban? So we organized a lecture here in the City Hall of Durban. And it was in 1958, December 1958. As a result of that, two Caucasians, white people, Europeans, they started visiting our offices in Madrasa Arcade. And subsequently, twice, a certain type of conversion took place, that we converted to those two white gentlemen who were coming to my office. We converted them in the West Street Mosque here in Durban. And then another two within a week, an Indian and a European again in the Juma Masjid, Durban. So there was somebody watching. Allah watches all times. But there was somebody else who was witnessing our work. An elderly gentleman by the name of Haji S.I. Kadwa. So after the second conversion of people in the Juma Masjid, the man, while he's tying his shoelaces, I'm also on the same bench tying my shoelaces, he's telling me that he had observed my work, what I had been doing, and he likes it very much. And he said, look, I got 75 acres of land at a place called Brahma in Natal, about 55 miles outside Durban, and I'm prepared to give it to you. So I said, I accept. He said, no, not so fast. You must first have a look at the place. I said, what is there to look? So he said, no. You must first have a look. I was thinking that if there are 50 acres of rocks, I'll still have 25 acres of good land. If there are 25 acres of rocks, I'll have 50 acres of good land. And Natal is a garden colony. This colony is called a garden colony with all its greenery and beauty and natural other qualities about it. So he said, no, you must have a look. So I, with our trustees, I went down and I saw the land and I accepted it, and I started establishing an institution called As-Salam, where I could train Muslim missionaries. It is functioning at the moment.
في هذا المكان على الساحل الجنوبي لإقليم ناتال قرب قرية بريمر يقع معهد السلام ومؤسسة السلام، وهو يبعد عن مدينة ديربان بحوالي 90 كيلومتر، تقطعها السيارة في حوالي ساعة من مدينة ديربان حتى موقع المؤسسة. أقيمت مؤسسة السلام على مساحة 75 فدانا، قدمت منحة من عائلة قدوة التي تسكن قرية بريمر لخدمة أغراض التعليم الإسلامي. في عام 1959 شهدت هذه المنطقة اللبنات الأولى لتأسيس هذه المؤسسة. وتضم المؤسسة مسجدا ومدرسة ابتدائية ومعهدا لتدريب وتعليم وتربية الدعاة المسلمين من بين الأفارقة، بالإضافة إلى عيادة طبية وملحقات رياضية وترويحية أخرى. والهدف من المعهد هو تربية الدعاة الذين يعملون على نشر الإسلام في جنوب أفريقيا، وهم يلتحقون بالمعهد ويعيشون هناك حياة إسلامية كاملة. أما المدرسة الابتدائية فإنها تخدم المجتمع المحلي، وهي مدرسة إسلامية يدرس بها الأطفال الأفارقة بهدف جذب السكان الأصليين إلى الإسلام. ولخدمة البيئة المحلية والسكان الأفريقيين أقيمت عيادة طبية يرعاها ويديرها الأطباء المسلمون. ومن خلال المدرسة الابتدائية والعيادة الطبية يتعرف الأفارقة على الإسلام. إن مؤسسة السلام هي المؤسسة الإسلامية الوحيدة في جنوب أفريقيا كلها، وهي خطوة رائدة وعملية تحتاج إلى الدعم والاستمرار لأهميتها في نشر الدعوة الإسلامية في جنوب القارة الأفريقية.
Started the center in 1958 with £3 and 5 shillings. And alhamdulillah, from that little beginning, we have grown. We have grown, as you have noticed, that this building here in which we are situated, we purchased this and we have freed it from all debt. We have purchased another building which will now accommodate an auditorium, and there are about numerous shops to bring us income, and the work is progressing. So we have been doing a certain type of work in that we were using the Juma Masjid Durban for attracting visitors. So we started advertising the Juma Masjid Durban in the Durban Corporation brochure. They give out to visitors, tourists. We saying that visit the largest mosque in the Southern Hemisphere. For a free guided tour, phone 27054. That was a very old number. And people used to phone and they used to come. Because generally to the tourist, they didn't know the difference between a mosque and a temple. To them now, these are synonymous terms. So they came and we explained to them what goes on. We gave them free literature. And this was one of our major works that we were doing, giving out literature and explaining Islam. And holding lecture meetings throughout the country on different topics where we can enthuse the Muslim with regards to propagation. So strengthen them against the Christian missionary activity and put them in a position that they can talk back and explain Islam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My name is Abdul Rahman. I mainly take tourists to the mosque on mosque guide tours. And we get people from all ethnic groups, mainly white people, and I speak to them about Islam. I also do conversions or reversions to Islam, and I also answer correspondents from all over the world. The sun rises and sunsets according to God's law or nature's law. Human beings are the only creation we tell ourselves we know better. We do not submit to God's commandments or His law, as a result of which we made a mess out of this whole world. Right. This is why if you observe a Muslim, he seemed to do things that you will find was done by Jesus, Moses, and the prophets of God in the Bible and the Jewish scriptures. For instance, I met you with the greeting words of peace, Assalamu alaikum. Every prophet of God met people by saying peace be unto you. I'll prove it. In the Bible, in the book of John, chapter 20, 21 and 22, Jesus is said to meet people by saying peace be with you. In the book of the Kings, David and Solomon meets people by saying, peace be with you. Jesus in the New Testament tells his disciple, he says, when you enter a house, say peace be to the house. He spoke Aramaic and he said, Shalom Aleikum. We Muslims are the only one till today who meet people by saying peace be unto you. There's also a very good common sense reason for saying peace be unto you. For instance, if I said good morning or good afternoon to you, it would just mean the good morning or the good afternoon. When I say peace be unto you and you are depressed, it means peace come over to you. And it means peace in the morning, the afternoon and the night. And also I am imparting the peace of the knowledge or the teachings of God or Islam to all human beings I meet. Can you see, it's a more complete and wholesome meeting, has a more complete meaning. Also, the first thing we did is we took off our shoes. Why? The prophets of God took off their shoes. For instance, in the Bible, the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, the book of Acts chapter 7, verse 33, you find that God commands the holy prophet Moses at Mount Sinai. He says to Moses, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God commands the holy prophet Moses at Mount Sinai to remove his shoes in the presence of the Almighty God. Jesus says, I come not to destroy the law of Moses, but to fulfill it. That means that he came to fulfill the laws of Moses. If Moses took off his shoes, he must have taken his shoes off when he prayed too. The common sense reason for taking off our shoes when we attend our places of worship or pray is as follows. The dirtiest part of your shoe, of your body, is the underneath of your shoes. With it, you go to the toilet. With it, you trample over the feces of animals. God is pure and clean. If the imperfect human being wishes to perfect himself, he must be clean. Right? Muslims also wash themselves before they pray. The prophets of God washed themselves before they prayed. If you look in the Bible, you find in the book of Exodus chapter 40, 31, 32, you see that Moses and Aaron are set to wash their hands and feet thereat. They wash as the Lord commanded Moses before they enter the tent of the congregation. So, washing ourselves before prayer serves threefold purpose. It is what the prophets of God did. It's a good hygienic practice. Third reason, and most significant, it serves a mental preparation for prayer, a psychological purpose. For at the time when we wash ourselves before the prayer, we have the following prayer in mind. God, make us of those who are the purified and those who repent for their sins.
So, we started with advertising the Quran in our local New Sunday newspapers, one called the Sunday Tribune. We advertised Quranic verses under the heading, The Quran Speaks. A message from the Quran, and giving our name and address that further inquiries can be made, and for free literature they can write. And then the same thing we started doing for the African people in the Zulu language newspaper called Ilangalasi Natal, means the son of Natal, in which we had Ikuran Yakuluma, which means what the Quran says. And again, the same technique, verses from the Quran translated into Zulu and offering people free information and literature. Then we have also had other ideas, like advertising Islam in a most unobtrusive manner. We don't offend people, like you'll see on buildings here.
These signs promoting the reading of Kalamullah, the Word of God, are absolutely unique in the Muslim world.
إن الإعلان عن الإسلام والقرآن الكريم بهذه الطريقة قد يصدم الكثيرين منا نحن المسلمين لأننا لم نألف مثل هذا الأسلوب من قبل ولكن هذه الظاهرة هي واقع سجلته عدسات التلفزيون في شوارع مدينة دربن بجنوب أفريقيا وقد تكون له دواعيه ومبرراته المحلية في جنوب أفريقيا.
On buildings you'll find the sign saying, read Al-Quran, the last testament. Read Al-Quran, the last testament. During the day, the sign is there, and at night, it flashes, you know, the color. So in other words, attracting people's attention. Read Al-Quran, the last testament. Now, more especially in the South African context, it is mildly provocative. because this is, as I said, an ocean of Christianity. And in this ocean of Christianity, they know the Old Testament and they know the New Testament. So when you are speaking about the Last Testament, it becomes as a shock. So what do you mean Last Testament? So inquisitiveness, which is to us attracting them, wanting to know, where can we get the Quran? What is this Quran? So we are achieving this by advertising these on top of buildings. We have a dozen different types of literature, all on comparative basis. And we are publishing these literature now 100,000 at a time. We have a book called What the Bible Says About Muhammad. That book, we have done more than 300,000. Then we have another book, Is the Bible God's Word? We have done more than 260,000. And all, crucifixion or crucifixion, Christ in Islam, how Islam solves a racial problem, the Muslim at prayer, and on, we are printing these booklets 100,000 at a time for absolutely free distribution. We don't charge anybody. Only the Quran we have to sell. If people buy, they can buy. If they can't afford, they must write and tell us why we should give them for nothing, and we do provide for them.
هذه المطبعة هي ملك للمركز الدولي للدعوة الإسلامية، وهي تقوم بطباعة كل ما يتعلق بالنشرات والكتيبات التي تخص المركز، بالإضافة إلى المطبوعات والدفاتر والنماذج التي يحتاجها المركز في نشاطه اليومي. وتقدم هذه المطبعة خدماتها لمن يرغب من الزبائن، لتشكل بذلك دخلا ماليا للمركز الدولي للدعوة الإسلامية.
We have so far handled this office of mine some 85,000 Holy Quran translations, Arabic text, translation and commentary, which we have been selling, and what returns we get gets plowed back into propagation. And we have also been giving out these Qurans. We have been offering to free to every school, college, university and public library, absolutely free of charge. To every mosque and madrasa, absolutely free of charge. And we have handled so far about 85,000. We have just placed an order now for another 100,000 for helping our brethren all over the world. For example, I'm sending 10,000 Qurans to our Afro-American brethren in America. I want to help the people in Sri Lanka and in India, Pakistan, in the UK. We want to do this, that the Quran is made available, freely available, at a very low price, subsidized cost, or even free. And 100,000 are now, inshallah, under print. We are reproducing videotapes of our lectures, mostly on comparative basis. Like this particular one, it says Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Bible in response to Swaggart. And we have today now, this is tape number 35, but we have 40 different videotapes on Islam.
This is a video production department of the Islamic Propagation Center International. Besides me stand the video production rack, housing more than 20 video machines of different makes. It is with the aid of these mechanical machines that we are able to produce over 200 copies of videos a week, averaging between 800 to 1,000 copies, depending upon the duration of the lecture of Mr. Didat, talks and debates. At times, the duration of the lectures fall between 1 hour, 2 hours and 3 hours. And depending on the duration of these lectures, the tapes vary between 800 to 1,000 cassettes a month. Besides producing cassettes of Mr. Didat, as you can see, tapes of other famous Muslim personalities are also made here. At the moment, as you can view on our monitors, is Yusuf Islam, a prominent scholar from the Western world who had finally accepted Islam after realizing the potential of Islam and how it has made his life simple. Besides titles of Yusuf Islam, we have other copies for other people who have accepted Islam as well.
We started with one room for videos, you know, mass producing. We installed 10 machines. One room was taken up. Now we need 3 rooms for doing the job. We have now an editing suite. Now we want to put up another 10 machines, because as fast as we are producing these tapes, we can't seem to cope up with it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. وقولهم إنا قتلنا المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله. And they said in boast that we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of God. The Quran goes on.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We at the Islamic Propagation Center make use of the facilities that you see before you to do editing of our tapes. The tapes are first shot by our cameramen on crew, and once they have been shot, they are brought here to be edited. Once these tapes are edited, they are taken to our duplication rack, where we have made hundreds of copies of this particular tape. We do biblical inserts as well as Quranic inserts. At the moment, we have just released Ahmad Didat and Robert Douglas's debate that was held in 1986. The Quranic inserts as well as the biblical inserts have been completed, and they are ready for marketing. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
F-I-X-I-O-N, crucifixion. We say it is F-I-C-T-I-O-N, fiction. It sounds the same, crucifixion or crucifixion. The spelling gives us the difference between the two, that in the Islamic point of view, it is a fiction. Now, when we say that it is a fiction, the Christian brings forth, produces his book of evidence. He says, here, we have a written record by eyewitnesses and near witnesses to the happenings some 2,000 years ago, that Jesus Christ was hanged and killed on the cross some 2,000 years ago. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is, instead of telling you this is what the Muslims say, this is what the Quran says, I said, look, I want to show to you that the Bible that you hold in your hands, whatever version you have, you will find the verses that I'm going to quote and the argument I'm going to induce.
The whole world is crying for these tapes, because there's something novel to them. It's really a novel thing, because they have heard lectures about only addressing Muslims, how to make salat, we must give zakat, we must not drink, we must not gamble, you know, we must be attired Islamically and all that. They have been listening to that continuously for centuries now, for decades. But now comes along something novel in most especially people in a Western environment, like in the United States or in any other country where Muslims are, where the Christian missionaries are making onslaughts, like in India and in Pakistan and in Bangladesh and in Indonesia, wherever the Muslims are, we find that they are under attack and they don't know how to respond. They don't know how to respond to these Christian missionaries. So our tapes are doing the job. So there is a demand all over the world, so the department is expanding and increasing. Then literature. We need special departments to cater for the amount of correspondence that's coming in. You know, it's what we didn't handle in a year, we're handling in a week now. Where in the old places, old offices, what we didn't do in a year, in a week. There are piles and piles of letters. We have to discover some new methods of handling them, because we can see that they are all now drowning us.
My name is Ismail, and I am responsible for the receiving of the correspondence that comes into the Islamic Propagation Center. We receive an average of about 100 to 150 letters per day from all countries in the world. The percentage of letters that we receive in the various areas are about 50% from the African states, namely Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Sierra Leone, and surrounding areas. The rest of the letters we receive from countries like the UK, USA, South America, India, Australia. We have even received letters from as far as Siberia and Alaska. The contents of these letters, or the requests contained in these letters, vary from literature requests to video requests. People requesting literature also inquire about the activities of the organization and the other facilities that we offer.
ولمواجهة أعباء العمل المتزايدة على المركز الدولي للدعوة الإسلامية في مدينة دربن، ومسايرة للتطورات العلمية والتكنولوجية المعاصرة، أدخل المركز نظام الكمبيوتر بالإضافة إلى وسائل الاتصالات العصرية.
Information that we are entering on the computer is from the letters that we have received from correspondents all over the world. We have two special files. One is our local files, which are stored in this room, and the other one is Mr. Didat's files, which are special files. Both those files are on computer, and we have approximately 7,000 names on the computer at present.
The correspondent is coming is drowning us. Each and every department who are handling the opening department, they have to find and sort out their letters. Given to different departments, these are orders to be executed. This is just free literature required. These are people asking questions, how to answer the questions. So then these visitors coming along from the masjid, they want to know further about Islam. Then conversion taking place, people come along, they want to be converted to Islam. Either from Hinduism to Islam or from Christianity to Islam. Generally from Christianity and Hinduism, we get a lot of converts. But now before we convert anybody, I know the old practice was that anybody wants to be converted, we say, now you want to become a Muslim? The man says, yes. He said, I read the Shahada. So what is that? He said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He's a Muslim. And then we said, now look, from today your name is Muhammad, or if it's a lady, it's a Khadija or Fatima, and you know, you must make Salat, and so on, and so you must fast when Ramadan comes, and we let them go. This is what usually used to happen. From now on, you must wish one another, Assalamu alaikum, and you are a Muslim, or a Muslima. Now, we have a system that anybody wants to embrace Islam, he or she must at least go through 4 lectures. So in these 4 lectures, what we do is this, that we disabuse their minds about all the prejudices. They have a concept of God. They say there is one God, but the concept is not the Islamic concept. See, they say one God, but they say He's 3 in 1, His Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So we have to disabuse their minds that Jesus is not God. The Holy Ghost is not God. There is only one God. And that God Almighty, we call Him Allah. And Muhammad is not our Allah. We have to explain to them what the angels are, what the books of God are, that the Quran is Allah's Kalam. The Bible, as they have got it now, is not preserved. So we have to explain, and Jesus didn't die for anybody's sins, that He's not God, and He was not crucified. To the Hindu, he said he believes in one God. But when you ask him, who is Rama? He says, God. Who is Krishna? He says, God. Who is Buddha? He says, is God. So who is Shiva? He says, God. And on, he gives you man gods, he gives you women gods, he gives you animal gods. But poor man, he doesn't know. So we have to disabuse his mind, clarify his thoughts, and then if the person accepts all the teachings of Islam, the fundamentals and the requirements of the Sharia, he agrees, then we tell him to have a good bath, the Islamic bath, and come back and we will bring him into Islam. So all these are different departments handling. You know, for the Zulu, there's a person handling the Zulu convert, there is a person handling the English-speaking convert. So each and every department that we have are so busily occupied, we are looking for a way, inshallah, of smoothing out our, what you would say, teething troubles, because we have grown up suddenly into this huge size. We came to this place about a year ago, and since then, you know, the things have snowballed to such an extent that now with the computer and the fax machines and the telex machines, we still can't cope up. So we have now exploited the machines, these electronic wizards, by creating what we call Islamic telecoms. We have 2 in Durban at the present moment. One in our own building here, 2 of our shops, you know, we took them over, shops in the building, and we changed them into Islamic telecoms. What happens there is that in the window, we have a monitor that at least 16 hours a day, our programs are being played, passers-by are being attracted. Then inside, we have seating accommodation that the people can come and sit inside, watch the monitor inside in comfort, and at 10 o'clock, we give them, everybody free tea.
And he gives examples from the Holy Bible that there are 10 cases of incest in the Holy Bible. I didn't know that. I knew that in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, there were 4 cases. Brother Swagat's book enlightens me about the 5th one in the first book. As if this is a textbook on incest to tell you what types of incest we can find.
Lecture activities. See, besides lecturing to people in the masjids, Muslim to Muslims, then guiding visitors to the mosque and delivering lectures in public places on comparative religion, we have gone into a new field of doing munaziras with the Christians. And the advantage of that is that it attracts the maximum number of people and it makes things more interesting. Instead of just mere lecturing, we talk about, was Christ crucified? 1,200 million Christians say yes, 1,000 million Muslims say no. Where lies the truth? You be the judge. So it attracts people. Then subjects like, is Jesus God? We had a debate in the Royal Albert Hall, London. The Royal Albert Hall was too small.
If the Quran is indeed from God, does it contradict itself in as much as it says,
okay.
Therefore, Jesus was born, he died, and he rose again.
The verse in question is, Wassalamu alayya yawma wulidtu wa yawma amutu wa yawma ubasu hayya. Which translated means, so peace is on me, the day that I was born, the day that I die, and the day that I shall be raised to life again. The day that I die, it is not the day that I died. It's not died, it's in the future.
Then we have now started training da'is, people who can go and propagate Islam. Because the Muslims all over the world, where I go and lecture, they seem to have taken a liking to my approach. Because something that was lacking in, that the Muslim didn't know how to approach the non-Muslim, the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, and I'm showing them how it can be done. To me, it's just a very natural thing to do, which Allah Bari Ta'ala gives us the secret in the Holy Quran, when he says, "Qul," tell them, "Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, O Jews and Christians, ta'alaw, come. Ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynakum," that we come to common terms as between us and you. Let us get onto a common platform. Some understanding us about basics. And then Allah Bari Ta'ala tells us what to talk about. But now we have not been doing that because we don't know how. Allah is telling you on a common platform, talk about this. Allah na'budu illallah wa la nushrika bihi shay'an wa la yattakhiz ba'duna ba'dan arbaba min dunillah.
From the United States, brother.
على مدى شهري أبريل ومايو من العام الماضي انتظم هؤلاء الدارسون الذين يتسلمون شهادات تخرجهم الآن انتظموا في دورة تدريبية مكثفة اجتمع فيها 20 من الدارسين المسلمين من 16 بلدا وهذه الدورة على النحو الذي تمت به وبالدارسين الذين حضروها تعتبر الأولى من نوعها فالدراسة فيها كانت بالإنجليزية بهدف إعداد الدعاة المسلمين الذين يستطيعون العودة إلى بلادهم للدعوة للإسلام ولمواجهة النشاط المعادي للإسلام والنشاط التبشيري المسيحي الذي يجتاح آسيا وأفريقيا في الوقت الراهن ويتكفل بجميع نفقات هذه الدورة وغيرها رجال الأعمال المسلمون من أبناء الجزيرة العربية ولقد تحمسوا لتربية وتكوين عدد من الدعاة على شاكلة الشيخ أحمد ديدات بعد إذاعة النسخة العربية من مناظرة ديدات وسواغارت
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. Dear brothers, we have gathered here today at the tail end of our program, which began in April, and we have gone through a lot of work, a lot of questioning, a lot of fact-finding and researching. Alhamdulillah, we have found that all of you were enthusiastic and you have the zeal, inshallah, to spread the word of Islam and to dispel whatever is wrong in the world of Islam as far as the thoughts and thinking about Islam is concerned. We have a great job of work to do. You will go back to your homes and your homelands, and you will see, inshallah, that what we have initiated here will carry on and on and on. So therefore, become articulators of Islam. This is why Da'i is one who can open his mouth and who can do something. We don't mind if you can write, keep on writing, but see that you become articulate in what you have learned here. And I have been very happy with the class as a whole. Alhamdulillah, we have had very close cooperation, and I myself have learned immensely from the experiences of others. And as there is no finality as far as any knowledge is concerned, there is no finality. I have been learning, we have been learning, we will keep on learning from each other and each other's experiences. And inshallah, we will march along together throughout the world in order to allow the flag of Islam to fly high. And that will be the day which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has promised us that day will come, and we can be part and parcel and soldiers and warriors in His way. And this is the work of the prophets, and it has got the reward that prophets deserve. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity, and we must take it.
And what we are hoping is that we train them in this method of doing dawah to non-Muslims, that they in turn, they can go back into their own respective countries and share with the people the knowledge that they have gathered here. And in sharing, they'll get more and create centers of their own, because the thing is getting unwieldy, it's getting so big, it's getting more or less out of proportion, our center here. We want centers to be created all over, that each and everyone independently can carry on. We will give them all the help that we can, but independently they can do what we are doing here. So this is our aspiration, and in that we are prepared to help Muslims all over the world to see that they do propagation work. This is our speciality, and we want to share this speciality with the Muslims all over the world.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول